49? Wait, no. Number 9. That was the Beatles song, right? Number 9?
I'm not a Beatles fan.
Yeah, it's not. It was not 49. Wait, is this something that you didn't know? Some music little tidbit that has escaped your knowledge?
Sorry. Something about the Beatles?
Yeah.
I love the Beatles, but I don't know what you're talking about.
The number 9 thing?
No.
Huh, okay, well, I'll have to dig it up. Well, 49, I think, you know, I'm looking forward to 50 of the podcast. Yes, yeah. Well, hey, I'm Dave Barger with LunaWeb.
And I am Rachel Smith with LunaWeb.
I'm Ansley Foams. We're all with LunaWeb.
We are, this time, yeah. So number 50 sounds like, okay, we've almost been doing this for a year. But actually, it's been a little longer because there's been some skips and some bumps and sometimes where we didn't actually have a podcast, like last week we didn't. Is that right?
No, we did.
We did? Okay. You know, and then we've had the other core conversations over on the Blog Talk Radio, which, you know, I noticed that they have this new service out there called Cinch on Blog Talk Radio. It's actually part of, I don't know if it's a division or just a product of Blog Talk Radio, but Cinch. So you can go to cinchcast.com and get signed up for that. Did either one of you by chance do that?
Never heard of it.
So with Cinch, evidently, you can call in just on your phone to this number, and if you register your phone number, it'll know who you are, and then you just call the number and you just start yakking, and it saves out your yak, you know, whatever it is that you've just your voice that you just left. I've seen them as long as 20 something minutes, so evidently you can talk for a little bit on this and maybe call other people ahead of time and then call Cinch, so where you have this podcast conversation going on, and it converts it to a MP3 that you can download right from the site. And then it also broadcasts out to Twitter and to Facebook. So I think recently I've heard people talking about maybe, you know, having their own little ranting podcast of some kind. It's like, hey, Cinchcast would be a great place to start. So check that out, cinchcast.com. And they've got apps of many kinds. I think they do have one for Android. I've downloaded it. I've set up my account, so I'll be Cinchcasting at some point. I'm just trying to think of something good to say there as I tinker around with it. So speaking of apps and Android and all this kind of good stuff, what's going on over there in that mobile realm?
Well, in the mobile realm, the big news in tech in general was yesterday Apple had their back to the Mac event. There's been some concern that Apple has forgotten about their actual computers, their laptops, and has focused so much on their mobile technology. And here with their event, they introduced an 11-book MacBook Air, and I think they are bridging the gap completely between mobile and desktop computers. I mean, they're opening a Mac app store so that laptops can run apps. The Air is supposed to be like an iPad, but with a keyboard, and it's like they're kind of trying to bridge the divide. And the other thing that they announced is that they're doing FaceTime on Mac. And FaceTime was the exciting thing that came out for the iPhone with the front-facing camera. And now it's being offered on the Mac, which I think will boost the popularity of the iPhone. Because the thing about it was, like, who were you going to use that with? The other very few people that have an iPhone 4 yet? But now that you could connect with people who are on, you know, desktop Macs,
okay,
more people might be tempted to get the iPhone. In the meantime, while not so many people have these front-facing cameras. So that's exciting as well.
So let me ask you this on that. If there's another device that comes out in a couple of months, because it's running on Air, this thing that you're talking about, an iPad running on Air, is that right?
No, it's...
But I mean,
MacBook
no, it's...
Air.
Yes.
The device. But they're saying it's just going to be... Because it doesn't have much more power, and it doesn't have... it's going to be running... apps. It has the capability to run apps and like a traditional notebook, but they're trying, it seems, to make devices that are neither mobile nor stationary, but like more mobile than a netbook, but more stationary than the iPad. So they're just trying to run the spectrum here.
I think that's very interesting.
It doesn't have a touchscreen, but it's only 11 inches. So it's smaller than any notebook they've released before. It's a little bit larger than the iPad, and it's a clamshell. So, I mean, it opens up into a keyboard.
Yeah.
But the other quick bit of news that's very important for mobile technology is that Verizon is going the AT&T route and offering tiered data now, or it will roll out close to Christmas. But they're doing it slightly different. They're still going to offer their unlimited plan for $30, but they're going to offer a 150 megabyte plan for $15, which is a little less than AT&T's $15 plan. But when you consider that they're still offering unlimited data, I mean, some people will win, some people will lose. It just depends on how much you want to pay and what carrier you want to have. So it's nice that they're offering a different option than AT&T. And the iPad's coming to Verizon, but with MiFi and not their 3G network. I'm not exactly sure how it works.
Okay.
It seemed confusing to me. But the iPad will be available, I believe, October 28th on Verizon with a 2 gigabyte data plan for $20.
Okay.
Maybe it's one. 1 gigabyte for $20.
So this is almost like the cost. The $20 is kind of like on my Verizon phone, my Droid 2. I can pay an extra $20 a month and turn it into a hotspot for one or two. I get 1 or 2 gig with that $20. Mm-hmm. Sounds kind of like this.
Yes, it's the same kind of thing. Because the internal workings of the iPad, they're not making a CDMA version of the iPad, so it won't work on the Verizon network.
Okay.
So they have to do something different and work it into with the third party
Wi-Fi device. So there will be a device.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Which seems weird for Apple that they would agree to that, but they did.
Yeah.
And it's coming.
Well, I think can you get that now? It's just not so packaged up as an iPad. You can go get.
But it will be packaged, and you can buy, I guess, the device, the iPad at the store, and with a discounted rate when you buy a plan for it. I think it will cost, you know, discounted from the regular retail price because you're buying the service plan with it.
Interesting.
Well, see, that's what's happening in mobile devices, but in mobile, you know, location-based type areas. What's up over there, Rachel?
So what we've got going on is that Foursquare could possibly be having a party as we speak. But rumor has it, actually it's not just a rumor, it's totally confirmed, but they're supposed to be hitting 4 million users this week, which is only 50 days since they hit 3 million, so they're growing pretty rapidly. They're significantly above Gowalla. Facebook hasn't released any official report on how many users they have, but Foursquare is definitely in the forefront with 4 million users this week. However, the most interesting, innovative, most ridiculous piece of news in Foursquare these days is that in Chicago, as you all know, it's a voting season. So in Chicago, the mayoral elections are going on, and Foursquare is actually having a race in conjunction with the mayoral races. This is headed up by a marketing company called Proximity. So Proximity has set up this venue, mayoral headquarters of Chicago, Illinois. If you check into that venue the most times throughout this process, then you will actually receive a marketing package and actually be in the running for the mayor of Chicago. So, craziness. The mayor of Foursquare can also potentially be the mayor of Chicago, Illinois. Crazy.
I'm going to go ahead and doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah, me too. Right now, the guy in the running is a guy named Rob M.
Will they put him on the official ballot?
They will put him on the official ballot.
Wow.
They will give him the funds and the marketing plan necessary to receive, I guess, enough preliminary votes to go on the last ballot.
Uh-huh.
However the mayor elections of Chicago go, whether it's preliminary and then however that works. But he's definitely going to receive a marketing package and, you know, the goods to get there.
Is anybody betting money on if this guy wins? Because I can see it happen.
I don't know. Let me say this much, though. If you really want to speculate whether or not he has a chance, his Foursquare profile stands as he has 17 badges, 7 mayorships, and 53 friends. I have 68 friends. Rachel Smith. So if you really want to think about it, I have a stronger chance of being the mayor of Chicago. If I were just considering the constituency behind me, then technically I would have a better chance of winning. So he doesn't seem to be that popular of a guy. He's got like 100 Twitter followers. I don't know. Maybe he's got a chance. It's ridiculous, but it's innovative. Go Foursquare.
I'm sorry, that's ridiculous.
It is, but you know what?
It's
2010. We can do whatever the hell we want to do.
I disagree with getting Foursquare involved in politics. They're messed up enough right now anyway, without getting...
Not at 4 million users.
Without mocking the system with Foursquare. Well, let's take a moment and cut to our interview with Maggie Louie from Inside Scoop with the Commercial Appeal.
All right. So we are joined today by Maggie Louie, who is an online media specialist with the Commercial Appeal.
Hi there.
Hey, welcome to the Social Expedition.
Thanks for having me.
So there's a lot more going on over at the Commercial Appeal than just printing papers.
Oh yeah, there's a whole online industry going on over there.
And so what as the online media specialist, what parts of that are hitting your desk?
Well, primarily I'm in charge of e-commerce, specifically our daily deal site, which is similar to Groupon or Living Social. It's our deal of the day. You've probably seen it inside Scoop, I-know-one.com.
So there's the Daily Deal and Inside Scoop?
No, Inside Scoop is our daily deal.
Okay.
We print it on the front page of the newspaper every day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you pick up the paper, you'll...
I get it in my email every day. It's part of waking up for me every morning.
Exactly, right. So if you subscribe to the Commercial Appeal online, then you would see it in the form of a widget on that front page as well, on that homepage.
Okay.
Go Memphis homepage.
And so this... This whole thing is as part of this new genre that's really hot right now. With what would you call that? What's the classification of this particular?
Well, it's a social commerce play. It's a e-commerce that is very dependent on the social atmosphere. It's a daily deal. It's very similar to Groupon or Living Social.
So this Inside Scoop, it's kind of part of this new genre of sites or applications that are out there that are really hot and really taking off right now. How does that work?
Yeah, we approach the general public by offering them one great deal every day. So that creates a desire to go and visit the site daily, which is important. And then it gives businesses an opportunity to get the exposure of offering a great deal, but also, you know, we print that on the front page, as mentioned, and then our multiple websites and our email blast, like you receive. And it gives them a chance to let us sell a deal that they're doing. And so they get, you know, a lot of great marketing, advertising, as well as revenue out of the deal.
And how long has this been going on?
We launched July 12th. So we've only been in it for a few months, but already, you know, we're given
a few
competition.
Months. That's like ancient.
I know, right?
Yeah.
In the online world, it is.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize and that's this year?
Yeah.
Okay. It seems like I've been getting that for a while now.
Yeah. Well, you know, we really, Eric Jansen, who's our VP of online marketing, really made a smart push for our marketing when we launched. And so we did a huge media blitz using the Commercial Appeal, leveraging all of our media, really, billboards, newsstands, front page newspaper, full page ads, you name it. So.
And so, this deal, give us an example.
Well, for instance, today's deal, which is Soulfish Cafe, is doing amazingly well. It's already sold 500.
And let me tell you, I can tell you this too, from reading it this morning, it's $10. You pay $10 and you get $20 worth of...
Exactly, yeah.
A meal.
Worth of value, yeah. Well, it works like this. You go to our site and you see the deal today. It's $10, gets you $20 worth at Soulfish Cafe. So you buy that, you hit the big buy now button. It's kind of idiot proof, right? And what that's going to do is you know, tick our little meter that you're watching up a notch. And at the end of the day, midnight really, is when we close each deal, you're going to be alerted that your voucher is ready and you can use it the next day. You go to your site and you log in, you look in My Deals, and it's a printable voucher there. You just take that in. You can also, a lot of places let you redeem it on your phone. And we're actually launching our iPhone and Android apps in early November.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to hear the Android part of
the right?
statement there. Yes. So, okay, where is the social part of this?
So the social piece is when it goes viral. So, you know, we're posting this on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Plaxo even, you name it. You know, we're really pushing it in all of those social pieces. And when people are on the site... And this is how it goes viral. When people are on the site and they're logged in and they hit share through our Twitter or Facebook widgets or our email base, and somebody else in their network uses that link to go to the site and buy, it credits their account with $10 deal bucks.
Oh.
Right.
So, okay, deal bucks, redeemable how? What's that good for?
Anytime they, on the site, when they buy something on the site, it automatically will apply those deal bucks to their purchase.
Okay. Hmm.
So today, if you have $10 deal bucks in your account and you go to buy today's deal, it's going to be free.
Okay. So if last week I had shared some special, let's say with Ansley,
mm-hmm.
I get $10 worth of credit, then I could go in there today and get this $20 worth of Soulfish dinner, or you know whatever at Soulfish for that $10, and I've already got the $10 credit from.
Exactly.
Ah, I see.
So it's free.
Now, isn't there like a component, and this may, I may be confusing this with some other, the other guys, you know, mm-hmm. but we're at least a minimum, there needs to be a minimum number of people participating?
The threshold, yeah. And okay. That's, okay, so the myth is that that at a certain magic number, enough volume has been procured that you can afford to give these discounts. And that's the myth behind that number. The reality is it creates buyer interest. It creates a desire to push sales, to buy, you know, if we all buy quickly. And that it's supposed to be a mechanism to have you promote it to your friends. And it does work, you know. But if you look at most trigger points, they're usually between 10 and 20 and would no means really justify some huge bulk purchasing power, you know.
So to a business organization, where is the value in this?
There's a lot of value. The overhead is basically nothing. To launch a deal of the day site with a company like a CMS, content management system, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to basically be looking at revenue shares across the board as payment. So there's not a lot of outlay for the startup in this, which is genius for the economy. I mean, it's totally genius. For us, the newspaper industry, the thing that is so, it's like a perfect storm, really. For us, we need something to generate interest in our advertising and people advertising in the newspaper. We also need a way to enhance our play in the online market. And so this gives us an ability to do both for people. Whereas the other guys, you know, I like to call them locusts because, you know, the idea is that they are going to come in and, hey, you know, we're going to get all these people to buy it today. But the reality is the people they're marketing to are either A, already clients of the advertiser, or they're people specifically interested in coupons only.
Okay.
So they're buying because they're getting a good deal, and that's the only reason.
Mm-hmm. You know,
or they were an existing customer, and they want that service they were already going to buy
right.
discounted, heavily discounted.
Okay.
So that's like a pre-harvesting of someone's crop. You know, it's not really like seeding new crops for them. It's just harvesting their crop early, you know, and saying, hey, here's your money. Look what I did for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really, that was their crop. They would have made more. They would have made twice as much over time.
Right.
So the strength that we're bringing to this with the newspaper play is offering all of this new seed, which is the newspaper reader and the newspaper subscription emails, because these are really high transaction rate emails because they belong to affluent homeowners in the community who are interested in news primarily. So, mm-hmm. you know, when you shift the focus to news and local interests from coupons and things that are cheap, you suddenly have a greater opportunity to create and habitualize new customers to come to you with your offering instead of just somebody who is already coming to you, taking advantage of this deal,
mm-hmm.
or someone who's only going to go to places who are offering a good deal. You're getting to give this opportunity to somebody who is a highly affluent homeowner in the community who will more than likely really enjoy their experience with you and come back and spend the full amount, which is what you really want to happen with these experiences. You don't want to hurt business. You don't want to create an unhealthy business,
yeah.
or what they call in the industry, the post-deal dip. Well, this is a very true thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is sort of esoteric, you know, techie talk. So if it gets too out there, stop me.
No problem. So what you're going to talk about the post-deal dip.
Yes.
Okay.
This is very important for any business owner when mm-hmm. they're considering whether or not they want to do a daily deal and where they want to do the daily deal and what the expectation is. when you look at your quarterlies from the previous year, and you look at it 3 months, 2 months, 3 months after you've done a deal, the first month, obviously, you're going to see a revenue, you know, push, mm-hmm. because you're going to get that money advanced to you.
And when you say looking at the quarter, you're talking about looking at, like, it's the sales for
the
quarter.
Yeah, look at your sales, your numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, what you made last year. Mm-hmm. You know, let's say you did a deal in January. So in March, you know, when you're looking at your numbers from last year, and you look at your numbers after you did a deal this year, and you see a dip, then you know this has not been good for your business. This is not healthy. That tells you that you're marketing to your existing clientele and that, you know, you've lost money because obviously the money they were going to spend was discounted heavily. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding with our project and the growth and being able to message to that wider base of people who have a much wider interest is that you're going to see growth. And that's what you want to watch for, even if it's small. Even if it's just a little 1% lift, any kind of growth, you know, is significant.
So I've heard recently of some some companies who are doing business with the other guys have some bad experiences, and that's kind of getting a little bit of press these days about that dip being a clobbering dip, and how the folks that are actually taking advantage of it are those coupon shoppers.
Right. Exactly.
So when you're working with a client, you talk through this whole deal dipping thing and look out for them long term, because you're working primarily with local companies right here in Memphis.
Well, and that's the other key component is we're the local newspaper. One of our key mission statements is to create healthy business environment because we rely on this local business, you know, as our lifeblood as well.
Yeah,
we want to make businesses stronger and healthier so that, you know, we can do business with them for a long time. I think that there's, you know, and I don't want to speak disparagingly of the other guys, any of them, but I don't know what the mission statement is there for a national brand in a local market. I genuinely do not know what their mission statement is.
Okay. So what about B2B type clients?
I'm glad that you asked. Great. Because we're actually, we're preparing to launch our Half Off Depot product. We've got them in several of our Scripps markets now, I think six major markets. We're launching in Memphis in December. And one of the interesting things that we're going to experiment with that is a B2B play. And I don't know if you're familiar with Office Aero, but let me give them a little plug. They're a great site, and they're based out of Atlanta. And they're one of the only people in this space right now doing B2B daily deals. And it's a very interesting space. There's a lot of potential there. And that's something that we're exploring with our Half Off Depot product.
I imagine that's quite a challenge.
Well, it is, but it's also, it's very interesting. When you look at the available clientele, you know, what when you ask yourself, well, who could use this? Who uses this, you know? Mm-hmm. Who would be someone who wants to be featured? You know, you see hotels, restaurants, airlines, theater, office supplies. You know, you see a lot of industries that can afford to make some decent deals and who typically are. You look at computer companies, they're always making great rebates. So this is a really interesting platform for them to get to you know, see how they do in.
It seems like it could be potentially very difficult to penetrate some of those, to penetrate that, you know, for some of the B2B type things. Let's say, like, you've got somebody who you routinely do business with every month, and there's this relationship there, and now all of a sudden, okay, I'm presented with an opportunity to save some money by trying somebody else, but I may not know who they are. Whereas I've got this relationship going with our, let's say, phone company or our voice VoIP supplier.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. I mean, I think that kind of is, you know, that speaks to the, you know, if we did a deal with a doctor, you're going to switch physicians to try someone else because they run special? Probably not. There will always be specialists, and there will always be, you know, relationships that you don't want to compromise. But I think when you're in a local environment and you're focused on a lot of local services like that, you're creating exposure to new people that they want to market to more than anything. I don't think you're trying to necessarily convert people to something new. But if you're messaging to entrepreneurs or new businesses, which a lot of our email base secondarily to subscribers is going to be businesses that are advertising with us. So for us, this is a very logical move. We have those emails. We know those people. We know what they want. We know what they're interested in. And we know that they're small business owners, not, you know, obviously we wouldn't necessarily be trying to convince FedEx that they, you know, need to use Bob's Tires or something like that, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But for small businesses that are getting started, we want to expose them to really great savings.
Okay. So a couple of things that you mentioned here. One is you said scripts. So I guess there are, you said five or six other markets that are running the same kind of a program?
They're doing the Half Off Depot project. Yeah.
Okay, So the Inside Scoop.
Inside Scoop is different than our other script markets.
Is that Memphis only?
That's
right
Memphis
now?
Only. Okay. That's something that, you know, we have very strong leadership in our market. And not that we don't in other markets, but I think that this has always been the flagship company for Scripps Commercial Appeal.
Memphis is, we're a flagship city, you know?
We are. We are a city of entrepreneurs. So we've always done things a little bit differently. Joe Pepe is an amazing leader, and he has some very bold ideas that have paid off in spades. And I think that now, you know, the company looks at us, you know, as a bellwether. We set trends.
Great.
And that's what we're trying to do with Inside Scoop. And now with following along in the company-wide play with HOD, is a home Half Off Depot, is to cohesify that with our existing product so that, you know, we can double our efforts.
And so exposure is one of the things that this does offer. You know, so in looking at this, I'm one of the founders of Launch Memphis, and LunaWeb is and the Social Expedition, we're your big proponents and supporters and all that kind of stuff of this event called Bar Camp that's coming up. And so it is, there are tickets that you
okay.
know. So it's a
we need
it's
to
a,
feature you for sure.
You know, so it's like, oh, okay. So, you know, it's a one-time event. There are some people who regularly attend these. This would be our third bar camp. But it seems like if we did an Inside Scoop, all of a sudden we create great awareness.
You do.
About this particular event. So I'd like to
talk to you about that at some point. Absolutely. We'd love to feature you. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about that might interest you or your listeners, it's on a techie level, is our e-commerce conversion. And I don't know if that's a term that you're familiar with or not, but it basically means how many people are visiting your site. Mm-hmm. Of those people, how many buy something?
Gotcha.
The transaction.
Yeah, it's funny how there's this terminology thing. So we call it a conversion rate.
Mm-hmm.
But e-commerce conversion rate.
ECR, e-commerce conversion rate.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's our jargon, I guess. But something interesting I found in studying the analytics of our project mm-hmm. versus the other guys. The industry standard is 2% conversion rate.
For the emails?
For the emails.
All the way to the actual purchase.
To the views.
Okay.
So for however many emails you send out, there's an open rate, which you're familiar with. That means how many people actually opened the email.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a views, how many people actually went and viewed the page, how many pages did they view. And then there's the conversion rate, how many people of that actually made a transaction.
Wonderful.
So this is kind of significant for newspapers because on average, our conversion rate grows exponentially with our opt-in list. So where the industry standard is 2, ours started at 3, within a few weeks grew to 5, it's now well above 7. And on any given day, we'll be as high as 29,
mm-hmm.
12, fluctuates. So, but what's interesting is that as we gain more opt-ins, instead of that just being a proportional growth where we're still 2%, but that's a larger number of revenue,
yes.
we're actually growing exponentially. So our growth is not just in the number of people, but how many transactions they make. So it's interesting.
Fantastic. That is very interesting. I know here recently your open rate increased with me because you guys changed the subject line of the emails that go out, because first thing in the morning, you know, I'm going through all the spam that came in at night, you know, and so out of, you know, 30 emails, there may be actually 3 that are important to me, yours being one of them. And when you change that subject line to where I can see a little bit more about what the deal's about before actually opening the email, that helped me out quite a bit.
Yeah, and we had a lot of feedback about it. It's interesting the things that you learn, and you're right, our open rate is about 40%, which is extremely high.
That is great.
It's extremely high.
So, what's next? No doubt you've got a waiting list maybe of companies that are wanting to get on this thing, and you've only got one per day, so there's a finite amount of opportunity here.
Right. We're actually streamlining that into 65 key advertisers that we'll feature annually. And we're in the process now of kind of culling lists and making sure we have the top 65 that people in the city are really going to be interested in. And so it is limiting, but for those who aren't part of that 65 that we're mm-hmm. selecting, we will be launching, as I said, in December, our half-off D-Pro product. So that's going to be an opportunity for all of other businesses who don't quite meet that 65. We really want to create a high interest level on the Inside Scoop of a mm-hmm. very specific deal for consumers. So
tell us, okay, for anybody who's not familiar with this already, where can they, you know, get on board?
They can go to www.insidescoop901.com.
Uh-huh.
Or if you go to thecommercialappeal.com or gomemphis.com, you can look and see our widget on the homepage and just click there, and that's going to take you right to the link, and you can just sign up. Inside Scoop 901.
All right. Well, Maggie, thanks so much for joining
us today.
Thanks so
much for having me.
It's been a really interesting conversation. Well, she's very dynamic and knows a lot of geeky type stuff here in the web realm. I can't wait till she joins us on November the 3rd for the breakfast. That'll be an awesome guest as well. So
and that'll be at 7:30 in the morning at the Holiday Inn at the U of M. Dave, do you have anything to add?
You know, tonight we've got the Twilight Camp going on over here at LunaWeb. So that's starting at 5:30, going till 7:30-ish. But you can come and go. We're not real strict on time. We don't have a definite agenda. It's more the free-form version of our monthly meeting.
We've got Bar Camp on November 13th, and that's coming up. We are getting things really pinned down for that. We should have a location very soon.
In fact, I'll be talking with the good folks from Maze as soon as we wrap up this podcast.
It's coming up.
Very well. So thanks for listening.
Thank you.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.